Maybe they're good. Sure, anyway, it is April 3rd, 2023. This is Atlanta United FC Weekly, a Home Before Dark podcast. Yeah. 3 weeks of what? Kraken? Oh, the drinks. Yeah.
No, I'm just doing it just to prove you wrong.
Because I said, how long did I say it was going to last?
I think you said like 4 weeks.
Oh, okay. 2 weeks. We're 2 weeks in.
This is three.
Oh, sorry, 3 weeks in.
Just because you took a week off doesn't mean you get to take it off the rest of our time.
That's fair. That's fair. Time served. I don't think that's how that works. Anyway, I'm Tim Herb. As always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Mr. Kevin Bradley, across the way from me, drinking his Bloody Mary.
That's right.
Kevin pulled up to my house. I open up the door. He's just got like a little Tupperware that's barely filled. Like, this is like a large soup Tupperware. And he's got like one pickle, a couple olives, and a couple tomatoes in there.
There was no tomatoes, first of all.
Okay. What was it? It was
pickles.
It was like pickle green the night bean, before
pepperoni and some olives.
It was like the night before trash night, and you're like, "Oh, I gotta throw away all the stinky stuff, all the stinky stuff that I have." And then you got that one Tupperware in the back.
Work on my gut biome. What you talking about? I'm on a big pickle kick right now.
I let the fridge digest it like 30% of the way, and then pre-digestion. No Dan James tonight. It is.
Oh, I should have done vodka Red Bull.
Oh,
did not even think about that.
You with caffeine at 8 p.m. on a Monday.
Stacey would have loved it. Yeah. Josh Pagaransky brought that up. what are we drinking, fellas? And Elliot Beeman said drinking a Red Bull tonight.
I am drinking LaCroix Limoncello, which is a fantastic drink that I've finally turned Kevin onto. And the only reason I have so much of it is because it's the main part of the seasonal Costco pack now.
It
takes up like 75%
of that. I'm so excited for that potluck on Sunday because I can finally go get one of those peanut butter pies and not have the whole thing in the house for just me because Stacey can't have it.
I don't blame you. That sounds fantastic. Shit, what was I going to say? I completely lost my train of thought. Thank you guys for tuning in to the trap. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure that you hit the subscribe button, the like button, hit the little thumbs up, notification bell icon whenever you get told whenever we go live. Tonight we're on time because we don't have Dan James. We're without Dan James. It is if those of you who commute into Atlanta did not realize it is spring break. And it feels good.
Yep.
It feels great to be driving around in the city again with no traffic. We got Elliot Beaven, Richard Gordon, Carl Seggy, Mateo, Josh, the aforementioned Josh Pagriansky, Jay Hannibal, Patrick Delaney, Nathan Explosion, NYCFC fan, Nathan Explosion, who we got that coming up Saturday.
Nathan, what should I drink next week? Go ahead and give me your suggestions. It's got to be blue. I need a blue Curacao.
Blue Curacao. And we got the always, the ever-present Brittany S.
Ever-present.
Ever-present. I think if we were to give a perfect, like an attendance award.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of the year, we should start doing that. We should start doing
popsicle sticks.
Yeah. Who has the most gold stars?
You get to pull something out of the prize box at the end of the season.
Yeah. Maybe that's a good idea. We should give away some prizes at the end of the season.
Oh, that'd be so funny. Yeah. Like go to the dollar store and just get a shoebox, fill it up with prize stuff. At the end of the year, we're doing drawings on the show.
We show up outside of Mercedes-Benz. It's like, you get to choose one thing and you can't look. Hypodermic needles. I took a trip to the Target bathroom and I got you some needles. How's everybody feeling? How are you feeling coming off a Saturday or Sunday for you?
Good. Good.
Monkey's off the back, man.
Yeah, it is. I think that game was the first this season for all of the hubbub about the previous wins this season. I feel like that win was probably the most frustrating out of the bunch for a couple of different reasons. Like, it just was probably the least convincing win, not just from the score line, but just chance creation and build up and play. And some of that's for different reasons that I'm sure we're going to talk about tonight. One of which was the fact that I did not realize until I was looking at it afterwards, like, God, there's a lot of yellow cards in that game. Just a lot of fouls in general. Half of the field players got yellow cards. There were 10 yellow cards in that game.
Yeah,
so
hold on.
Half of the fielded players ended up with yellow cards over the course of that match.
So I didn't get to do this yet, and I was working on it. And hold on. Trying to download this so I can show it. I feel like a boomer.
Carl Seggy, good point. Our next episode is episode 200. Mm-hmm. That is exciting.
Yep.
We got to find out something to do for episode 200.
We
got to
do something. Yeah.
Drinking 200 White Claws live on air.
Okay, I'm going to just...
We're going to do a telethon where we just drink 200 White Claws.
So this is what I was getting at. Yeah. I was trying to do that whenever... Yeah. If you guys aren't watching, I'm sharing a little... The Oprah meme of you get a yellow card and you get a yellow card and you get a yellow card. That dude...
Brutal.
That dude had no control over the game whatsoever. You know, I didn't have a ton to commit to memory from Saturday. That was one of the things, though, is like, aside from obviously the goal, feeling like our defense did a great job, being able, whatever, we can talk about all that stuff, but he just lost control early on in the match.
It didn't help that, like, regardless of the inconsistencies in his call or the amount of yellow cards he threw out, I'm not going to say they weren't warranted. There was a ton of fouls in that game.
There should have been.
Both teams were going at each other from the jump.
Yeah, there should have been a red card. When was that?
Oh, in the first half with the keeper that came out.
Yeah, he didn't even get booked, did he?
No, he got rug burn real bad on his front head.
Oh my gosh, on his front head. Oh my gosh! If there is a single person listening to this or watching that understands the reference of a front head. Please tweet us at Home Before Dark. Home B in the number 4 dark. Oh my gosh. Sorry. Side note. Athens finest, though.
Yeah.
You know they're from UGA, right?
Yeah. But yeah, that definitely should have been a red. I can't believe he got away with that.
Yeah.
Out of the box, slide tackling a player, using hands and getting all of the player.
So it was either it should have been and it wasn't close. It wasn't in the box, right? Mm-mm. It was like right at the edge. Mm-hmm. So it should have been a penalty, or not a penalty. It should have been a red card. It
should have been a free kick and a red card. Yeah, absolutely.
If not, it should have been yellow, because I could see from the refs,
the very least a yellow.
From the ref standpoint, I could see where he could, he can make the case that the defender could recover.
Again, if you're going to give Giakoumakis a yellow card for a slide tackle that he got all ball, but it was a reckless play, understandably, like, took out the player in the process. Same thing should have been on the other end of that, where, like, the keeper got zero contact on the ball, and it was a really reckless play with the use of his hands outside of the box.
Like, 100%. Yeah. Dude, that Giakoumakis tackle,
that was aggressive.
I thought that scissor tackles like that were completely banned. Oof. I thought that was that could have
not in Greece, still legal in Greece.
That could justifiably have drawn a red. And I don't think we would have really had a leg to stand on there, but he did get the ball.
Neither did that player.
And my man defended Franco Ibarra on that.
Oh yeah.
That's a player who's got his teammates back.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because that was great to see.
But yeah, there were several of those. I forget what's his name from Red Bull, starts with an A. Alme, or what is it? I can't remember it. Their striker comes and takes out Ibarra, like, on the touch line. He gets tangled up with somebody else, and he just comes out of nowhere and just clips.
Is it Frankie Amaya?
Yeah, Amaya. Yeah, that's who I was thinking. But yeah, just comes out of nowhere and clips him. I mean, it was just those kinds of fouls back and forth all night long. I think that that really ultimately, there was other contributing factors, but I think that that was a big part of why Atlanta and New York, for to some extent, neither team seemed to get a real consistent hold on the game on either side of the ball, because it was constantly, possession was constantly being upended because of a foul of some kind. You know,
it was real stop. It's like stop and start type of match. Just to read out some of the stats, we had 59% possession. It didn't seem like that, but you look at the pass success, they only had 72% pass completion, which seems very low to me.
I was overall
very pleased. It's an, like, to your point, it's an ugly game and it's hard to look at that and be excited, other than the fact that, like, those are the types of games, I think if you're a good team, those are the types of games that, like, you have to scrape and crawl or claw to get a result. And honestly, I think we stole 3 points out of that match. And those are the types of games that you look back on as a team that has home field advantage in the playoffs, and you say, thank God we won that game. Thank God we were able to stabilize defensively and kind of control things in the midfield. I thought Franco Ibarra was outstanding.
Ibarra, I feel like, has got that position locked up over
100%, dude.
I mean, I just don't know how you backtrack with that at this point. You know, you mentioned the defense playing well, and I think they did overall. I mean, several players had really standout tackles inside the 18, both Parada and Miles. Miles Robinson had one early on in the game that was fucking clutch.
Those two had a couple standout recoveries.
Yes.
And so that's a good point, though. It's like, okay, they were put in positions where they did have to recover.
Yeah.
I didn't think Caleb Wiley played particularly well in that left back position. I think there is, obviously he's 18, and I think there's room for him to grow there. But
Gutman's absence was noted.
Yeah,
I think
100%.
I think out of everything over the course of the night, not seeing Gutman, and there's nothing against, not saying anything as ETN, I think that he certainly got in position to make plays. He had one position that I know he's going to be thinking about since, because he had a one-on-one breakaway he just took an extra touch.
Yeah,
you got to cut and you got to take an extra. You got to take an extra weighted first touch to be able to get out with pace, and it just kind of fell apart on him. But overall, I think he played okay. But like I said, Gutman's absence was definitely noted on the defensive as well as the offensive side of the ball, because Gutman's done so much on both sides that's unlocked Wiley's ability that. I think that Wiley's having to kind of recalculate where he falls in on a more defensive stability standpoint. ETN obviously building up some consistency with Almada on the top end. But even on the defensive side of the ball, I think that if I did have a frustration with the defense, it was that the defensive playing out of the backfield, almost like Atlanta got away with several possessions where Almada had two really errant passes that Red Bulls picked off that went down for chance creation. Guzan almost gets stripped of the ball inside of the six. You know, there were several of those laziness, I guess, on the defensive possession side of the ball. Like, whenever you're playing Red Bulls, you almost have to play out of the back because they're playing such a high press. You need to pull them that far to get the quick counter.
Yeah.
But you can't, if you're going to do that, it requires a certain level of specificity and how that, like, how the passes are linking up and how quick they're snapping back and forth. And I feel like that just wasn't really there this past week.
Yeah. Mateo said, no, it wasn't Mateo. It was Elliot Beaven said it was a sloppy game. And that's true. I mean, they slung mud pretty early, I felt. And we got kind of caught into a dogfight a dogfight on Saturday. And we have a lot of players who I was surprised. Were you surprised? Were you as surprised as I was to see Almada starting, to see Yakimaka starting, to see Miles starting, all coming off of that international break? No,
I wasn't, because I think that coming off of that, had it not been right off of the Portland match, I think it may have been a different story. But coming off of a 6-1 drubbing, like, that's something that I think from a club standpoint, it's like, we need to get back into form and show what we're capable of. And it's still really early in the season, too. If this was in another 2 months and they had played every match so far in the season, maybe you rest them regardless of the Portland outcome. But you're 5 matches in. they played on international duty. It's not like it was a 2-day rest scenario. Yeah. You know, I don't see the issue with them coming in, and especially Giakoumakis, who needs to get those reps.
Yeah, for sure.
Much as possible.
No, and Etienne too is another one. I agree. Like I was expecting to see them on the bench. I was happy to see them in.
Almada, you need to have playing because his stock just keeps skyrocketing every time he's on the field.
Yeah, he. You know, I think everybody on Twitter was quick to call his worst match of the season. It obviously was, but he set a really high bar. He had the thing is like he has so much ingenuity about him. I think that he sometimes is gonna have like high risk, or whatever, high reward, high risk play, and you know, sometimes they're errant passes because you're trying to, trying to create something out of nothing, especially in a chaotic game like that.
Yeah.
He's the type of player I feel like is always trying to feed up field. And if he is being pressed like that and, you know, everybody's kind of in disarray, him, I don't know, trying to turn and make those, that one specifically that you called out, that errant pass that they intercepted in front of our 18. Yeah. I was kind of shocked, but
because it was in no man's land. That
right, it really
thing.
Was.
It was just a low weighted pass that he just carelessly kind of limped along, for lack of a better term. You know, several people kind of echoing that about Mateo mentioning that Red Bulls targeted his passing lane specifically. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they definitely did. They overloaded the midfield to cut off our passing. I agree, but at the same time,
it was their own detriment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And whenever you're playing a team that's going to high press like that, you have to try to bait and switch that mentality out of them. You know that they're going to be playing aggressive. The passes have to be that much cleaner because you've got to pass around. It's like playing NYCFC on the road. You know, you go to Yankee Stadium, you've got to have one touch passes to be able to succeed in that stadium.
Yeah.
You know, having long terms of possession and wide open space to run in just doesn't happen on that field.
And all it takes is if you're batting the ball around is to get dispossessed on that field, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're kind of screwed at that point. Almada did have a shot that ended up netting us a goal. It was a Coronel, is that the keeper's name? Batted the ball down instead of catching it.
Yeah.
And Giakoumakis was there. I made this comment on Twitter, but I don't know that I've seen a player on our team have the work rate that Giakoumakis has.
Yeah.
Like even towards he was gassed, but he was still like running down the keeper whenever he was trying to waste time.
Yeah.
Or whatever. He was trying to possess and pass out of the back. But he I thought he was outstanding.
Yeah.
No, but he played really well. His positioning, I think, is fantastic. It was unfortunate he missed that chip.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was meaning to chip. Do you think he was meaning to try and chip that?
I really don't know. Maybe. I guess so. I mean, got to give him the benefit of the doubt, I guess. But
yeah. It just doesn't seem like the kind of player. It just looks to me like the brick shithouse that's going to try and rip that ball into the back of the net.
Right.
But I really like what I'm seeing out of him. 2 goals in 2 matches. Or no. Did he score? Score against Columbus? No, Brooks Lennon scored against Columbus.
Yeah.
Scored against Portland. So
sorry,
he didn't play against.
Whenever I was saying Portland earlier, I meant to say Columbus. Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't play against Columbus. So his last 2 matches for us, he has 2 goals, which is a positive sign. It's 2 more goals than the former number 7 has, Joseph Martinez, down
through
in Miami.
Through six appearances.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's played every game. He might have gotten called down to Venezuela, but
he did.
Still,
yeah.
So through five appearances.
Yeah, five appearances.
I don't think he scored for Venezuela. So.
No, he did.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. It was his first goal in a while, I feel like. He's still not scored yet. Araújo had one of the worst games I've seen him have for us, I feel like.
Yeah, and that's been the troubling thing out of the lineup is just how inconsistent I feel like he's been for whatever reason. And I feel like that's been the thing week in, week out that continues to come up is where is Araújo as far as his consistency and his ability. And you know, Dan and I talked about that last week, especially in the Columbus game, where you expect him to really stand out. There is no Almada, there is no Giakoumakis, there is no Etienne. Like, you've got none of these players around him to sort of get in his way or, you know,
right,
to outshine him in some way. And it's still been, you know, it's been a couple weeks now that we haven't really seen a whole lot of, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but we just haven't seen a whole lot of excitement, I guess, around what he's been bringing, like what the product has been on the field, unfortunately.
But how much, I mean, it is, I would say some of that is overshadowed by Almano's performances.
Yeah.
I think especially in the Portland game, because you had a goal from Araújo in a very, like, I would say he got himself in a great position. It was kind of an industrious goal because he was able to turn quickly in the box and put that ball in the back of the net. But, you know, obviously you don't sit a DP like Araújo, but I wonder what this lineup looks like if you have Gutman healthy, you push Wiley up on the left side and you put Etienne on the right side. I don't know if Etienne's capable of playing right or right wing.
Yeah.
But I really do love how seamlessly Etienne seems to fit into this lineup. I feel like his link up play on that left side has been, no matter if he's substituted or if he started, I feel like it's been great.
It's been great, but I can't help but feel like it's going to take a couple more weeks for me personally to be convinced. Like, I just, the production rate out of Gutman and Wiley on that side has just been lights out.
Oh, I'm not saying you sit Wiley. I'm saying Araújo, maybe you have a match where you pull him. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. It would be interesting to see that. I don't know what's going on with Araújo, because to Mateo's point, he said that guy had so much skill when he first showed up, and now it's not so much. I wonder how much he's in his head. I wonder if there's anything to, like, his, you know, the rumors of him going back to Brazil, like if there's actually anything to him being unhappy. Maybe, you know, it's easy for players to get unsettled and their performances to really show through. Like,
I'll tell you what makes players happy, and it's winning. And, you know, I think that maybe, you know, team's doing really well, sitting second in the East right now.
4-1-1.
Haven't been in that high in the East in years.
Two points behind who?
I know. Brandon Vasquez.
Yeah, Brandon Vasquez. FC Cincinnati. Damn. Side note on that, I saw the power rankings show up, what was the last week or whatever, and I guess I hadn't been paying that much attention to the rest of the league.
Yeah.
And I saw Cincinnati in first, and I said, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is this? Isn't Yap Stam Cincinnati?
The other thing that was crazy was I heard a statistic on the pregame show, Jordan Morris. If you were to guess how many teams in the league had less goals as a team than Jordan Morris did going into this weekend's
this
matchup.
Past weekend. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. I could probably name a few of those teams. SKC, he definitely has outscored. LA Galaxy, I think he's outscored. I would say Colorado, probably. I would venture to say eight teams.
Eight. It was eight teams.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I got it right. Yeah. He has eight goals now.
Yeah.
After this weekend.
Yeah.
If that man can stay healthy, which is a huge if, he's had some really bad, like, major injuries. Yeah. He's a hell of a player.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. Like,
it really is.
Seattle being, like, firing like this early on is.
No kidding.
Oh, man.
It's a long season, though, man. I mean, six games in, it's still a long ways to go. But, boy, I mean, for Atlanta to break the duck on Red Bulls in the regular season is great. But, boy, I mean, as a Red Bulls fan, you got to be concerned with what they've done. I mean, four goals through six matches now, I think it is.
No, I didn't even mention them as one of the teams that Jordan Morris has outscored.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's crazy that they are really, really struggling this year the way that they are. And that, you know, even against Atlanta, it's like, as much as they high pressed, which has typically really been the type of offense that Atlanta has struggled with, they made some really good chances, but they just, for whatever reason, couldn't seem to finish them or develop them into anything once they got into the final third consistently.
Yeah. Huh. And then still, they're in 12th. They're still ahead of DC, and they're still ahead of Charlotte, and they're still ahead of Montreal.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, just a rundown of the East real quick. On 14 points, Cincinnati in first, Atlanta on 13 points. Ahead of New England on goals scored, I think, and goal differential. Columbus in fourth. Columbus with another high-scoring game on Saturday. I think they put up four, if I'm not mistaken. Aiden Morris scored a couple more goals. Speaking of Morris, they're not related. Nashville in fifth. NYCFC, who we play on Saturday, is in sixth. Orlando's in seventh. Philly's in eighth. And then Toronto's in ninth. And then you got Miami, Chicago, New York, DC, Charlotte, and Montreal.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if it doesn't really matter going into the West. Yeah, St. Louis finally did lose a match.
They did.
Yeah.
They did. Yeah. It's possible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's possible. They lost to who did they
lose? RSL?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they lost 1-0 to RSL. And that's RSL's only win of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seattle's 4-1-1 just like us. They've scored
Galaxy still winless, right?
Yeah, are they the only no, there's three there are only three winless teams.
Oh, they lost to Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota, my bad. Yeah. Sorry. Tony Neitzel hopping in listening while doing yard work. That sounds so weird because it's 8:30 and dark in Atlanta in Portland. LA, Kansas City, and Colorado are the three scoreless or winless teams. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And LA has scored three goals. Kansas City scored two. Colorado scored two.
Wild.
That is sad. Yep. That is a sad state of affairs over there in the West. Yeah. Should be a fun season. We have expanded playoffs too.
Do and we everything play there. St. Louis this season?
If we don't, I don't, we should. I think we play everybody one time, right?
I don't know if it's still like that with the amount of games that there are
Let's in
the
see. Season
with the amount of teams that are in the league now.
Yeah, you might be right.
Used to be that we played everybody, but now I don't think that that's the
we
case.
We don't play St. Louis. We did get a taste of them in, preseason. We beat them the last preseason match, which was behind closed doors. We beat them 2-1, but they're not, I guess we don't play them. You're right. Yeah. Whenever we first came into MLS, I feel like we played everybody in the East twice, a home and away. And then we played everybody out West alternating.
I feel like that was the case.
Home, away, home, away, home, away.
But that's clearly not the case anymore. I mean, there's been four teams that have joined since then, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Austin, St. LAFC, Louis, Cincinnati, LAFC. Four.
Are we missing anybody? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And Minnesota joined when we joined.
Yeah. Any other?
Inter Miami.
Oh, yeah. Miami. Yeah. Any other standout things from this match? Anything really like.
A standout thing for me was, Guzan going down with that challenge.
Oof. Yeah.
Couldn't help but feel a little like, oh, here we go. Like he's coming back off of an injury, tough challenge. Like, how's this going to be? But he bounced right up, seemed to be okay. So that's promising to see for sure.
Well, how was that? I guess I was going to say that was only a yellow card, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
I guess it was just because of the, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he was clearly making a play on the ball, but I guess in that circumstance, and he was inside the six, like it's a goal scoring opportunity in that regard because he was so close to goal. Had it been at the top of the 18, I could maybe see a red for something like that. But, you know, you're right in front of goal. I mean, again, that ref was just so.
He wasn't good.
Yeah.
He wasn't good. Yeah. We had how many yellow cards?
We had four and they had six. It was 10 total. I know that. Like I said, it was half of the field players that got yellow cards that match.
I thought Hosatu gave us a nice spark whenever he came in.
Yeah, he almost got a goal.
Yeah.
That was a great link up play with Almada, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. He just sort of thread the needle there to the top of the
right. Yeah, it was unfortunate that he wasn't able to get on the end of that. I thought that he brought a lot of life. I just struggle for the life of me to figure out what his natural position is with this team. Because we've seen him play the six. We've seen him play an eight. We've seen him play further up, which I felt like he played further up on Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't know where he works best or if he's just like more of a utility man at this point.
Chol had some good reps. He had a great little run of play with a one-on-one over on the sideline that ended up getting a little breakaway. It ultimately fell apart, but he had some good touches there too. I think overall, I mean, everybody got some good reps, but it was just one of those frustrating wins. It's like, man, you know, we gave away some opportunities that we shouldn't have. The sort of yeah, just the tactical side of things seemed a little haphazard at times. How crisp some of the passes were just wasn't really there. To your point, you know, it was Almada's lowest player rating of the season. I mean, with that said, he still had a great game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, overall, I think it was still a good showing. Certainly promising, especially coming off of that Columbus match, right? Like, that was the biggest thing, was like, can they at least knock the dust off? You've got one key player with Gutman out. Let's try to right the ship, get back in here, get back to work, figure out what we're doing on the left side, and then let the rest of it just go back to work. And they were more than capable of doing that, at least.
Yeah. And those two things stand out there to me. To your point, it's mental fortitude, being able to bounce back like that. And even though, what, we had seven guys
not in a physical there. Game, no less.
Yes. Yeah. 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 We had seven guys not present for that Columbus game, but everybody in that organization surely felt that 6-1 loss, right? Like, that was to have been harped on.
Oh, yeah.
All week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whether it's the media or it is internally, and it's pressure being put on by Pineda, being put on, you know, from the front office, anything like that, or from the players themselves and the leadership and the veterans in that locker room. You know, we got to be better than that. And to come out and not give up. This is the other thing I was going to say, is this is the perfect example of a game that in years past, we would have given up a clusterfuck goal.
Yeah.
Like, in the box, there would have been some scramble, and then Tom Barlow would have got on the end of it, or somebody, like,
right.
I feel like that is what I was waiting for on bated breath, you know, post, what was it, the 11th minute that Yakimakis scored? Seventh minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. After that, I was like, I feel like we're just bound for either a late first half or a stoppage time, you know, equalizer. Yeah. And that didn't happen.
Right.
And I think that shows a little bit of maturity from the team. It also shows that we had, you know, probably more control over the game than I thought we did during the run of play.
Yeah. No, definitely. Has there been any update? I haven't looked into it. Any update on Gutman's injury?
I don't know. I was actually going to ask you. I figured you guys are kindred spirits, so you would probably know. Hold on. Andrew Gutman.
No, I hadn't looked into it, so I don't know. I meant to look at it before I'd come over here, but I completely forgot. You know, I think that last week there was questions about whether or not it was a hamstring or
it's just groin, he's just week to week, and it's an adductor injury.
Gotcha.
Which is your quad.
So typically, I think that's been about a 3 to 5 week sort of stint that we've seen with those.
Oh, it's a hip injury. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your adductors up in your hip.
Yeah. I think those have been about a 3 to 5 week in the past.
You need to send him over to Serbia, get that placenta massage, and just get whatever him back into training the next day.
Yeah.
And be good to go.
That's all Deshaun was trying to get, I think.
You got to stop.
He's got hip pain, man.
Yeah. You got to stop. You got to stop. No Dan this week, so I don't have a Dan load. Anything else from the Red Bulls game that you can think of?
Let's think here. What do you guys got in the trap? Bruno Kubas, I'll donate my hip if he needs one. And to Mateo's point, the team is being super cautious with injuries this year. I expect no less than 4 weeks total. Yeah, I would think the same, Mateo. It'll probably be on the 5 week side of things for sure. And rightfully so. If you don't need them, don't play them. Right now, especially. I mean, if the team's playing well and getting results, you know, even if we drop a game or two here or there, nobody wants to hear it, but we'll be all right, you know.
Especially with the league
that, what is it now, nine teams get into the playoffs out of each conference?
Nine.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say eight teams across the league don't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's actually not that bad, not that far off from it, because where we have 14 in each conference?
Something like that.
Is that right? Yeah, 14 in each or 15 in the East. But yeah, there are...
Oh, Nashville is another one, by the way. So that's 6 teams that have joined since Atlanta joined.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's a lot of Garber bucks.
Yeah, no kidding. It's like, it's weird to think about that.
It's $900 million in expansion.
5 years,
right?
Years it's been. 6 years.
Since we joined?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we joined back in 2014.
No, but 2017 was
2017. This is year 7.
Yeah. Okay, so 7 years, seven teams have joined, basically.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then what we have to get, are we getting one more next year?
Who is it next year?
I don't know. I mean, the conferences are just uneven.
Oh, I don't 15
know. 15 East and 14 West. But what happens if and when, who's seemingly the favorites, Indy 11, make it into MLS?
Oh, that's right.
And they're not a West Coast, or like they're not a Western Conference team. Right. What do you do? Who do you shift over to the West?
Is there a
Chicago's further West than Indianapolis is.
Is there an expectation on when they would join?
I don't know. I think they've invested like some crazy amount of money.
Nathan Explosion said he thinks it's Vegas. Brittany has said the same thing.
Vegas. Okay.
I didn't even realize they were getting a team. That's crazy.
Oh, when I type in Las Vegas MLS, it's just real estate. San Diego or Las Vegas. Yeah, this is from February. Our favorites, San Diego or Vegas are favorites for the new team. That makes sense.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then at what point do you stop? Since 2019.
Oh, is that Vegas Lights? Is it their minor league or the?
I don't think it would be them, but yeah.
USL team right now, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the Lights, and it wouldn't be San Diego Loyal either. I don't think they would.
Is it the Lights that have the Llamas?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Freddie Adu played for them at one point.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Oh, that's funny.
He played for somebody. Maybe he played for, who's the Meow Wolf team?
Oh, Mexico City.
Or New Mexico?
Yeah.
No, it was Freddie Adu played for Las Vegas Lights back in 2018.
Wow. Back in 2018, he was still playing in 2018.
You got to remember, he was 14 when he made his debut.
That was in 2004.
He's younger than we are.
Yeah, that was in 2004.
He's 33.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That adds up.
Yeah.
What we got in the trap here? Argentina lost to Saudi Arabia their first game of the World Cup. They also have a small magician. Coincidence, we're obviously winning the World Cup this season.
Yeah. Winning it all this year. Yeah, Bruno Cuba saying, thinking back to the Columbus game, didn't we lose like 4-0 against Houston our first game of the year we won Cup? We
true.
Did.
True. Very true.
Yeah, we lost that match in Tata. Yeah, that was Tata's last season with us. I guess, did he do 2 seasons with us?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then Frank did 2. 18. And then Heinze did a half a season.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's been a long time. How's, man, without Dan here, I feel like I'm talking out of my ass about NYCFC. I feel like I've seen them trend upward so far.
I definitely did not do any research on that.
But I'm probably wrong. They drew against New England this weekend. Nathan Explosion, give us some intel on New York City FC this year.
Oh, I like it.
Obviously without Hebert, who's in Seattle now. I'm trying to think who else they're without. Did Maxi Morales leave? Yep, he plays for Racing down in Argentina.
What's his face still there?
Castellanos,
yeah.
He's on loan at Girona in Spain, which is, I'm pretty sure Citigroup owns them too, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. So they're just like laundering money back and forth. The Man City owners. Because they own the two city teams, they own Girona, and they also own, I'm pretty sure there's another team that they own. Melbourne FC, Montevideo, Palermo, they own 80% of in Italy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nathan says it hasn't been great. They aren't scoring like before.
Well, I mean, they're without those two guys, right? Or those three guys. Yeah.
But it is a road game for Atlanta, right?
Yep. We're going up to good old Yankee Stadium. How many more years do we have to do this shit?
Yeah, that's
when is NYCFC Stadium breaking ground?
I feel like Cincinnati built theirs in 6 months, and somehow NYCFC can't get theirs built over the course of 5 years.
I can imagine though the red tape around.
Oh, I can't. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. 2027, Nathan says.
Good grief.
Jesus.
And somehow the construction cost in the city, they're in Queens, is still like $780 million. That's it.
Wow.
That seems relatively small, right?
I would think so, yeah.
Especially like given the property values in New York and everything and what you're probably displacing.
No, absolutely.
I would imagine you're displacing.
Yeah. And
I just look at that. I know it's a 25,000 seat stadium, but I look at that compared to like what SoFi cost, what...
Yeah. What did the bins cost?
I want to say like $2 billion, if I'm not mistaken. Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
$2 billion? That's crazy.
I'm pretty sure that's what it cost, if I'm not mistaken.
I wonder if that included all the demo of the dome and all that.
Let's see. Cost, 1.6.
Yeah.
It was the projected construction cost. You know what SoFi Stadium cost in LA?
2.2.
I'm pretty sure it was over 5.
What?
Yeah. No. What am I thinking of that costs like, yeah, construction costs, $5 to $6 billion.
Yikes. Those architects just raking it in.
How many hours did they bill?
It's all cost. It's all percentage based on cost of construction. So,
well, that's cool. Nathan Explosion says they're also building residencies and a shopping mall with the stadium.
Oh, so doing like a little battery situation with it.
Yeah, I guess so. That seems to be the model. I like it. It's definitely better than... So we were up, my brother and I were up in Indiana last week. We flew into Indianapolis, and their stadiums are just in, at least Lucas Oil's, just in the middle of a rail, like what seems like a rail yard and like a warehouse area. There's not much there. It's almost like what Turner Field was before there was any sort of, and I still feel like there's not really any development down there.
It's better. I feel like it's better than it was.
Sure. Yeah.
You know,
but I felt like there was
states at least made something out of it.
Oh yeah, that's true. You know? I just mean, beforehand though, like if you go to Turner Field, you're not going there to hang out before the game, after the game or anything like that. I know people say what they say about, you know, Truist, but you can go there and have a whole day there before, before, after, during the game, whatever.
Right. Braves, speaking of which, I think they won the opener.
Last, yeah, they did. Yeah. And they lost the second game, won the third game.
Yep, they're looking good.
I don't have a whole lot to say about NYCFC. It's obviously going to suck not having Andrew Gutman again for another week. Where are they at in terms of goals given up? They've given up 7 goals so far. We've given up 9. Granted,
six
of them were in one match. Yeah. So I don't know that we will have that hard of a time scoring. I don't know. I have a feeling we're going to end up with like a 1-1 draw. Or we're going to end up losing the game or something like that.
Yeah. I'll say 0-0.
It's never easy to go up there, no matter the circumstance. But
yeah, I'll say 0-0.
What are you guys thinking of the trap? How are you feeling about Saturday's match?
I think the adjustment on that field and the way that Atlanta's been playing and how much they struggled with the passing lanes being shut down with Red Bulls on a larger field, seeing that compressed slightly with the NYCFC team. And even with that, you know, the goal that Atlanta did score this past week was just a, you know, finders keepers kind of goal. You know, Giakoumakis just happened to be right place, right time to slot that home. It wasn't like they were making a ton of chances. Hosetu's, I think, is probably the best that we had all night at the end of the match. But overall, I think it lends itself to either 0-0 or 1-0 loss potentially, like you said. So
yeah, Bruno Kubas asking, what do you guys think Yako will think about the stadium? I feel like it's going to be like a real Gulliver's Travels type situation in that stadium for him.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, that's a good point. I mean, if you feel like the passing lanes are going to be there in a smaller field, do you hoof it up the field or try to play a little more, not conservative, but a little more methodical through him? Yeah. Or like have him hold up or try and feed balls in. I don't think I've really seen Brooks Lennon try and whip crosses in.
It's been a couple of bashes.
Yeah, I don't feel like I saw that at all. I saw him a lot on overlapping runs and playing the ball back towards the inside of the field. But this might be a match that we try and bomb the wings and just hoof balls into the 18 and see if Yako can get on the end of it.
Yeah, I just don't think that Almada is going to have as much room to roam as he's been accustomed to in recent weeks. I think that that's going to be the big change for Atlanta tactically going into this matchup. I don't know how that's going to work out. If they're swarming him like Red Bulls did on a smaller field, I don't know that Atlanta's offense is successful. I mean, he really is the engine that drives that offense. I don't know that Atlanta's going to have a high scoring game if they score at all, you know.
What's the most amount of goals they've given up this season?
So a couple predictions in the trap while you're looking that up. Brittany S 1-1 draw, Nathan Explosion 2-1 win NYCFC, Patrick Delaney 2-2, two road games. I'll take a point, 2-3 and I'll be hype. Elliot Beaven 2-2, Nathan Explosion. We really need to win this game. I'm assuming he's meaning NYCFC. And Mateo, last time I made a prediction, we lost 6-1. I'm not chiming in on this one. Yeah.
Two goals is the most they've given up in a game so far this season. It was against DC, who aren't the best team in the league, and it was at Yankee Stadium. And if I'm not mistaken, Benteke got on the end of one of those on a header. So, maybe we can probably play that same mentality on Saturday. I don't know.
Yeah. It's been fun to watch, though, man. I mean, every week I'm excited to watch the team play, which is more than I can say.
And we can watch them play without issue this year.
True.
That's the other. We haven't talked that much about that, but I feel like we've gotten some combination of Mo Adu or Kevin Egan for the past, like most of the matches this season. And it's been kind of nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin Egan obviously wasn't because he was doing WrestleMania.
Yeah. Did you do you ever turn on the Conti broadcast at all?
I did the very first week.
And they look at different.
Yeah, it was just a little weird because it doesn't really line up whenever it's outside of commentary on the actual play by play. Whenever there's any sort of all right, I guess it would just be color commentary. I feel like it doesn't really line up with what's going on on the broadcast itself because they're watching in stadium.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What about you?
I have not. I have not. Anybody in the trap have you guys been doing that on the broadcast, listening over to the Conte and Longshore?
Yeah. Do you guys, and on Twitter, like, what do you guys prefer?
Yeah.
Listening to the app? I feel like for the most part, the Apple TV crew has been pretty solid.
Yeah.
Do you listen to the Apple TV broadcast or do you listen to the radio broadcast? I was a little surprised because the on-air, like the broadcast crew was talking about that feature. They're like, you could switch over if you guys want to. I was like, oh, that's interesting because they're not part of the Apple broadcast team.
Right,
so.
Right.
Elliot says he listens to radio. Yeah, Brittany says that. Brittany asks saying no, she was afraid it wasn't going to line up as well. I feel like it lines up like timeline wise, but it doesn't. It's just those nuances. And there's no, whenever you switch over to it, you don't really get the on field noise that you get whenever you listen to the broadcast.
Yeah. That's what Anthony Neitzel was saying. The crowd sounds better on the Apple broadcast feed. I noticed that too, Patrick, that you can't listen to the radio crew on the playback. You can only do that on the live.
That makes sense. Yeah. And then the Colonel, I don't know if I've seen the Colonel show up.
I haven't seen that either.
Yeah. It's pronounced Colonel and it's the highest rank in the military. MLS season pass rocks. Keith Costigan was great. I've been really, really happy. I know I didn't watch the Columbus game live. That was the only one that's really had real glitches, right?
Yeah, I've had a lot of issues with it. Like I watched.
Oh, really?
I watched half of it, and then
Columbus match.
Yeah, okay, I went back to rewatch the other half, like it just wouldn't load, no matter what I tried to do. Every other replay has worked fine, but for whatever reason, that match just wouldn't work whenever I was trying to do that last week. So
gotcha.
That's what it is. I guess I spared myself having to watch the second half of that match in general. So.
Oh yeah. I do remember getting that text from you because we weren't watching it live. I don't remember what we were doing at the time, but yeah, it's, I don't know. It's, I hope, I think I was talking to Angie about this. It's like, I just want more leagues, more Apple to buy up the rights to more leagues.
Yeah. Well, they're in talks to getting the rights to MLB next year, I believe.
They have some of it right now.
Yeah.
They do broadcast, I think, at least last year was on Fridays. I don't know if that's all it's with now, but yeah. It would be nice. They've done like a good, I feel like there's like a no frills mentality to it, but at the same time, it's like a really polished product.
I could see them getting something like Live or something like that. Probably not Live with all the backlash.
Is that still a thing?
Oh yeah.
I don't really pay that much attention to golf.
They're broadcasting with the, I think they have broadcasting deal with CW for their stuff. And apparently what I saw a couple months ago, I don't know how true it is, but the league bought like a large parcel of property on the outskirts of Augusta to potentially build a golf course to compete against the Masters.
When is the Masters? Is
next week or next this weekend?
This weekend?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so weird. Yeah, are they canon? Like, all I think about in the DC universe, like, that's all I think about with the CW is just, like, these rinky-dink DC shows.
You see the trailer came out for Blue Beetle today, speaking of which?
I didn't. Does it look good?
Looks all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was talking to my brother. He said the reception that he's seen from the Flash movie, that it's, the, like, the best.
It's just Batman Homecoming, basically.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that's everything it seems like. Like, they got Michael Keaton in. It, like, everything in the trailer was just like, Michael Keaton's back as Batman. Oh, yeah, Flash is in this movie, too.
I'd be pretty excited to watch it if it didn't have Ezra Miller in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's supposed to be, like, the best DCU movie really? So far.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I really like Suicide Squad, a new one. So.
I still haven't watched it. I need to.
Yeah. I really like
because that first one was, boy, was that a stinker.
Yeah, that was terrible.
That was a terrible movie. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't watched anything. No movies. Did see Ant-Man. Did you watch Ant-Man?
No. Stacy and I were actually talking. We've got a slew of movies that I want to go see now. Ant-Man, Mario's coming out, and then I want to go see the Dungeons & Dragons movie too.
Dude, that's getting like crazy good reviews.
I want to go watch it in theaters. It'd be fun.
I saw the production value and I was like, oh, that's going to be bad. And then all the reviews are like, this is great. Yeah. This is like, okay. Yeah. That's a good cast.
It's got the D&D Discord and a tizzy boy. Everybody's excited about that movie.
Oh my God.
Joe Johnstone's on spring break. He's just living it up watching Dungeons & Dragons in theaters.
Oh my God. What is 65? Mateo said he watched 65 the other weekend. That was horrendous. I don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. Nathan Explosion saying for us to watch John Wick 4. I haven't watched the second or third one. I really did like the first movie, but there's just not enough time. Not enough time when you're watching Love is Blind season 4.
I know. I'm two episodes in.
God, I blame college for the amount of trash TV I watch because we would just sit around, watch VH1 reality TV shows. We've been watching Daisy Jones and the Six. It's like loosely based on Fleetwood Mac in the 60s or 70s.
Gotcha.
70s. It's on Apple TV. It's pretty solid. And then Ted Lasso. We haven't caught up on the last episode of Ted Lasso yet.
I think we're one or two behind on Ted Lasso and Mandalorian. And we haven't really been watching a whole lot. But now that we've got Apple TV, I've got a bunch of stuff that I got to start. So,
There's some good stuff on there.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch Severance?
Nope.
Oh, boy. That should be at the top of your list. That is the best Apple TV show.
What's it called? It's at the top of my list right now. The one that you guys and Danny were telling me about with... the guy from my brain is just dead right now. Harrison Ford and
Shrinking. Shrinking's great.
Shrinking and Mythic Quest are the two at the top of my list right now.
Oh yeah. I watched the first like two episodes of Mythic Quest not that long ago. It's good though. It's Community.
Yeah.
It's like Community Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Mateo reminding us 65 is that movie with Adam Driver and the dinosaurs.
Oh, Turok, the movie. I forgot about that. Future Turok. I was psyched about it whenever I first saw that he was going to do it, and then I haven't heard anything about it. I guess that's why.
Oh, my God.
I forgot about that.
65 million years ago.
You know what I just watched?
There were humans.
You know what I just watched with Adam Driver in it that I never got around to watching before?
Him punching the wall? That marriage story
that I really fucking loved was Logan Luck.
I still Logan Lucky. Yeah, with him and Daniel Craig. Yeah. And is it Channing Tatum's
yeah.
in that, right?
Yeah. I good? Really fucking liked yeah. it. I watched it on the airplane.
Yeah.
That's what I've been watching all my movies lately. Watch that. Watch Everything Everywhere All at Once on the plane. Yeah.
How was that?
I really liked that
yeah.
too.
Yeah. I haven't watched that.
Really enjoyed it.
Oh, Succession. That's the other thing we've been watching.
Oh, yeah.
God, that is good TV.
Yeah.
That is just incredible TV. What else do we have in here? Secret Invasion trailer came out.
Dude, I can't keep up with all the MCU shit.
Well, a lot of it's about to get blown up because the biggest villain and the centerpiece of the yeah. entire phase just got in trouble for domestic violence.
So I saw that it was thrown out because it was like faulty claims or something like that. Somebody was telling me that, yes, he did get arrested initially, but that he's already been like released and all that because it was off. But this is all hearsay at this point from my standpoint. I don't know that it actually has like he's got charges or anything like that or if it was just somebody accusing him of that.
Gotcha.
I could very much be wrong though.
I'm trying to keep up.
Again, I didn't even know it had happened, and I was in the middle of a conversation and somebody else had said that it was thrown out because it was just accusations and not an actual charge that was upheld. But yeah, if that actually happens, that's going to blow everything up on that end. I have no idea what happens there. Even just the stink of it, I think, might be too much for him to stay attached to it. But what do I know?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, Bruno Kubas, the girl, dropped the charges.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
She got that Marvel money.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know any of the details.
Because I thought I had heard some other stuff about him on set and that sort of thing, too. But
really?
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. That's good. I mean, if that didn't happen, or if it's not to the extent, that's better because
I really like everything that he's in typically. So
yeah. He was great in Ant-Man.
He was really great in Lovecraft Country too.
Mm.
And I really want to see the new Creed with him in it too.
Yeah, the Colonel. I can't keep up with all the internet shit. When's the internet tonight? Yeah.
It's so much, man. There's so much going on all the time. It's impossible to keep up with it all.
It is impossible to keep up with. I don't have time.
No.
I don't have the time or the energy to waste on that.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't have anything else for tonight unless you've got anything.
No, I don't. U.S. Open Cup. Did you already say that?
No, Nathan Explosion said it. Open Cup games start tomorrow.
And it's like, when does MLS get involved? It's probably like the fourth or fifth round.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought something it wasn't like until that. Like June that yeah. they actually get involved.
Yeah. Right now it's just USL. It looks like a bunch of Sunday league teams. Honestly, a lot of teams without crests.
Hey, buddy. Even. Some of our biggest fans and listeners and friends are in Sunday leagues.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Are they competing in U.S. Open Cup? Is Sheffield Saturday or Sheffield Sunday on U.S. Open Cup?
Probably. They could probably beat a handful of those teams, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah, probably so. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'll do it. Where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram at Tim Herb.
I'm pretty much just at our Twitter at this point. Home Before Dark, that's before spelled being the number four. Thank you guys for tuning in, hanging out with us. We get involved in Open Cup round three, late April. Wow. So that was sooner than I thought. Come hang out with us next week. Until then, as always, Home Before Dark.
I guess.